You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and I am a social selling obsessed educator with a passion for health, fitness, and all things marketing and systems. We're all about delivering results producing strategies and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. You're going to learn about all things marketing and see what actually works. It's true that success leaves clues. Take it from one of our very own listeners, Dana, who left this review. Hey, Ashley, honestly, thank you so much for being you and doing what you do. I've loved every minute of this episode. It's really got my brain going. I can't wait to listen to more. I've done your 5-day done for you posts and I've purchased the 20 done for you posts. And I simply cannot say how amazing my interaction with people has been when I was using your posts. One day I will have purchased all of what you offer. Just have to get past the hubby first. Thank you again for you. XO, Dana. Dana, thank you so much for this review. If you're loving the podcast and finding yourself motivated to grow your business or enjoyed all the marketing tips, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Leave me a rating or review below, and I may just have to share your message right here on the podcast.
Today's episode, I get talking to Joey Gilkey. Now, Joey got his first lessons in business growth from his father. His father managed hundreds of millions of dollars in sales for a Fortune 10 company. Armed with proven principles, Joey went on to run a 115-person sales department for a Fortune 100 company. He grew a consulting firm from $1 million to $9.5 million in 18 months, and he scaled another agency from $60,000 to $560,000 within 9 months. So not only has Joey amassed $1.3 billion in deals as the CEO of Tribe Outbound, he then launched Sales Driven Agency, where he's helped over 200 digital agencies build out their entire sales operation and grow into the 7 and 8 figures. His mission is to help founders build sales-driven agencies and become predictable, sustainable, and scalable. And what I'm most excited to share with you guys about Joey is his obsession that leads are overrated. He knows that leads are important, but he believes our obsession with them is actually what is causing our downfall. So listen in to hear about how sales funnels can be predictable and how you can actually break down metrics that matter.
So Joey, thank you so much for joining me today on Social Selling Simplified. Super pumped to jump in. And I love your like no BS sort of mentality on lead generation. And I think I'm just super excited to dive into your perspective about how to actually build a business. So let's start with your story. How did you get into what you do now and building your business?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'll just come off the cuff. So for me, I've been surrounded my entire career in high ticket, long, complex sales cycle type of sales. So it actually looked like me getting thrusted and thrown to the wolves a little bit at a younger age. So early in my career, I was probably given a little bit more responsibility than I deserved. So I was in the Fortune 100 world working for an IT company, ended up helping launch a new branch in that company for the global IT services side of that, and got to help build and manage a 115-person sales team at a very young age. Got my teeth kicked in, so to say. Got to be in a lot of boardrooms I probably didn't deserve to be in. Got to handle a massive budget that I couldn't imagine seeing that many zeros on a spreadsheet. And so I learned a lot. Had a lot of failures, had a lot of wins. And I think what I learned from that was, one, it's all about sales process. Two, I hate corporate. So I left. And so I ended up leaving and getting to the SMB world. Took over a VP of sales job at a consulting firm, took them from 1 million to 9.5 million in 18 months. Left that, got poached by a marketing agency, which is, I've kind of been in this marketing agency world now for the majority of my career. And this is kind of what, you know, springboarded me into it. Took a VP of sales job there, helped them grow from 60K monthly recurring revenue to 600K monthly recurring revenue in 9 months. And then realized, hey, I'm making these guys who started their own business a lot of money. Maybe I should start my own business. So as any, still at that time, fairly young, I still consider myself very young, ended up deciding to jump into my own thing. And I was in marketing agency world and thought to myself, oh, I should just go start a marketing agency. That seems easy, because in the VP of sales, I only saw it from the sales perspective. I didn't see the fulfillment and the delivery side. So I thought to myself, let me go start an agency. Long story short, hated it. Could sell it like crazy, hated delivering it. Mm-hmm. But I made a lot of friends in the agency space who loved delivering it, hated selling. And so I was like, well, I love selling. Let me help you. And so that's kind of what started me down the path to where I'm at today, where I run essentially a sales consulting firm for high ticket businesses who have really complex sales cycles, who have really high ticket, 10, 50, 100 million dollar ticket sizes. And yeah, that is the long of it. That is how I got to where I'm at today.
So I'm going to like jump in a little bit into, I just want to understand a little bit more about this story of yours around, so your business growth. And I think you had said that you had learned a lot of your lessons from your father, who yes. managed hundreds of millions of dollars in sales for a Fortune 10 company. Yep. So maybe, can you explain a little bit more of that? Like, what was your upbringing like, and how did it like propel you into what you do now?
Yeah, that's awesome. So my dad is probably one of my largest influences early in my career, mm-hmm. without him really even thinking about it or knowing it. You know, for me, I had the privilege of watching my parents go from impoverished, you know, we were born into low income, subsidized housing, if you will. And then, you know, I watched my dad work super hard, didn't have a college degree. My mom didn't have a college degree. My mom had me at 20 years old, so young. And so they struggled, and my dad would do what he could. And he started with Home Depot, Fortune 10 company, working in the graveyard shift in the lumber yard. So he'd show up at 10 o'clock at night. He'd come home at like 7 a.m. in the morning, and he worked in the lumber yard. He decided, I had to go back and ask him the exact story, but there was a moment in his life when he said, I've got to do something about providing for my family. And so he kind of made a goal for himself that I'm going to move up every 6 months in my career here at Home Depot and keep climbing the ladder. And if I don't do that, then I'm going to go do something else and try to climb a different way. And so 30 something years odd later, he's still with Home Depot. And he, like you said, he grosses hundreds of millions of dollars a year in sales for them. I think for me, what I learned from him was resilience. I learned you don't have to have resources to be resourceful. And I learned what hard work looks like. And on top of that, that sales can be done differently than what a lot of people teach it as. I think sales can be done in such a way that injects empathy into these sales relationships. Because at the end of the day, you're serving the people you're selling to. And the best way to serve someone is to know them. And the best way to know them is to put yourself in their shoes, which is empathy at its core. And so I think that's how I kind of, just through watching him, I'll call it through osmosis or diffusion of watching my dad kind of go about his career and work super hard. And, you know, still to this day doesn't have a college degree, but makes more than most people. And so looking at his life and being able to translate that to mine was super powerful for me. I probably don't tell him enough the impact it has, but I guess if he listens to a lot of my podcast episodes, he'd know a little bit more.
Yeah, fair enough. So in terms of your growth and success then, in how quickly, like when you're sharing some of these numbers, like I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, it's hard to fathom that much growth in mm-hmm. a business, right? So yeah. What do you think was different about, I want to talk, I think there's mindset stuff and then there's going to be process stuff. And in my yep. opinion, mindset is like, oh man, it's like it's so much of it. It's yeah. So help us understand, like, what things do you think helped you grow businesses by that much? Like, yep. what do you think that secret sauce is?
I do think it's a level of conviction, right? I think that you've got to have a level of conviction as to what you do for people. And I think a lot of people struggle with this is they don't have the confidence in themselves, whether it's a sales conversation or you're on stage or whatever it might be, right? And there's a quote that I love that I think that is super powerful, which is, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man rules, which is saying even someone who we would see as impaired, the one-eyed man versus a two-eyed man, in the land of the blind, they rule, right? And so what that's saying is, in a conversation, you are oftentimes the smartest person in the room on that particular subject. And you have to have that conviction, because those people are having that room for a reason, whether it's a Zoom call, whether it's a boardroom, whether it's on stage, whatever it might be, you're there for a reason. And they wouldn't have you there if they didn't have a problem that you could potentially solve. So I think it starts with that mindset of, I'm in the land of the blind, and I may not be that person who's, you know, I'm looking at Jay Abraham, I'm looking at these big people who are so smart, I can never be like them. It's like, yeah, but these people in front of me aren't expecting Jay Abraham. They have a problem. I can solve the problem. I might be one-eyed, right? But they're blind in this particular subject. So I think it definitely starts there. And I think too, it's, I think one reason I've been successful and one reason that I've, you know, when I work with clients and help them see exponential growth, is you got to look at growth differently and more holistically. And that is somewhat process related, but I think oftentimes we get obsessed with lead generation or that silver bullet or whatever it might be today. And we don't look at the whole picture. And if we actually look at the whole picture, we would see a couple of different growth levers. Hmm. Instead of just one growth lever, which is pipeline, leads, traffic, et cetera, there's two or three other levers that you could pull on that could have equal to or more effect on your business than going out and finding more leads. And that's really my mantra, is look at the whole picture, and incremental growth in a couple different areas is the same as trying to get exponential growth in one particular area.
So an example of that could be looking at your referrals, for example.
Yes. Sure. Got it. So, I mean, there's an equation that we use, which is growth equals pipeline or traffic or whatever you want to use for lead gen, times conversion times economics. And so those are the three main levers, and all those have like little levers underneath them, but pipeline is, where do your leads come from? How are you filling up your pipeline of leads? So that's inbound, outbound, referral, your network, it's speaking, gig, whatever it might be, whatever fills your pipeline of interest or demand. Conversion is what it sounds like. It's how many of those we convert into paying customers. And then economics is, what do we charge? And if you can impact all three of those categories, even just incrementally, you can have an exponential company growth, overall growth. Because if you think about it, I'll just very briefly, if you're at $1 million in revenue and you want to get to 2 million, and let's just say hypothetically your business, you get 25 leads a month and you close 25%, 1 in 4. And let's just say hypothetically you charge $1,000 a month. So 12,000 a year. What you could do, and what most people think about here, is, well, I've got 25 leads. I want to double my business and get to 2 million. I need to go to 50 leads. And we start thinking about, I got to double the amount of leads I have. That's freaking hard. Like, that's very difficult to get twice as much demand for what you're doing. What I like to do is say, okay, well, let's just impact all three of those categories by 26%. That's the magic number. 26% of all three of those when combined equals 100% in any one of those categories. So what I would say is, say, instead of going from 25 to 50 leads, what if you went from 25 leads to 30? And so just work on, how do we get 5 more leads? Is there one more stream that we can bring in? Is there a referral partner that we can make sure that we're knocking on the door a couple extra times to see if they'll throw us more leads? Is there more volume we could do in ad spend? Whatever. Same thing with conversion. Instead of converting 1 in every 4, what if I convert a 1 in every 3.5, right? It's 30%. And then last is, instead of going from, the other way you could double is by double your pricing. Going from $1,000 a month to $2,000 a month is really hard to do. You're probably going to see a massive drop in your conversion if you do that. You're probably going to see a massive drop in your leads if you do that. But if you went from $1,000 a month to $1,250, that's all you got to do. And so if you do all three of those, if you do the math correctly, that equals going from 1 million to 2 million, just like that. And it's a lot more manageable.
Oh, I love that. It makes me think about the growth in our business that we've had. We were able to 10x our business over the last year.
Wow.
And it was like, you know, it was all those things that you're talking about. It was like looking at the full big picture. Yes. And being able to, like, it wasn't a big, massive, like, explosion of things. It was like little micro changes that led to that big change overall. So I love that, the way that you broke that down and explained that. And so I guess when it comes to a sales funnel, and I'm assuming this is how your processes like fold into this, can you help us understand like how you look at processes and a sales funnel?
Yeah, absolutely. So before I jump into helping someone just overhaul their funnel or build something brand new or build out an entire sales process from what we call cold to close, cold lead to close deal. Before I actually jump in, I like to diagnose what's currently happening. Where are my leads coming from? What's our conversion rates? Right? I look at those three categories. What are we charging? Oftentimes what you find is it's not necessarily about throwing more people into the top of the funnel. It's more about, and when I say funnel, I say that very loosely. Funnel could be literally ClickFunnels, or it could literally be a sales process, right? First time appointment, follow-up, proposal, close. Like that is a funnel of sorts. Anywhere where there's more leads at the front than there is at the end, that's a funnel. And as long as money comes at the bottom. And so when I sit down with someone and I actually take a look under the hood, I'm always going to look at the low-hanging fruit. What am I currently doing? Okay, so if I have only 5 leads coming in a month, period, just that's it. And I'm closing one of those 5. My question would not be, how do I get 10? It would not be, how do I get my 6th lead? It would be, how do I close 2 through 5 that aren't closing? What am I doing wrong in the sales process? Are people dropping off the funnel I have, whether it's broken or it's tiny or whatever? Why are people falling out? I think oftentimes we don't ask the question, you know, I'm closing 20%. They're like, okay, I'm closing 20%. It's, why aren't you closing 80, the other 80? That's the question that I think you have to change your frame of mind. And so I think I start there. And then it comes down to, when it comes to a funnel, you're going to be your most successful when you know exactly who you serve. I think this is something that I know you have a lot of fitness people who follow you. Just saying I do fitness, you're in a red ocean, right? There's red ocean, there's blue ocean. Blue ocean is clean. There's no blood in the water, right? That's kind of morbid, but that's just the picture. Red ocean is that there's a ton of people there. Sharks are swimming, right? And there's a lot of noise. How do you get to blue oceans, even though you do the same thing that everybody else does, right? If I'm a fitness person, right? Like if I was in fitness, I could probably build a $10 million fitness company because I would think about it different. It's the value prop that I come to the world with. So even though my fitness methodologies might be the same, right? Diet, exercise, intermittent fasting, whatever it might be, I would come at who I serve differently. So for instance, I would say, instead of saying, you know, I help people get in shape, get in the best shape of their life, I help them do this, this, and this, I would actually talk specifically to a specific type of person, the ideal customer profile. And so I would say, I help busy Silicon Valley founders get back their time, get back their life while still building their business, right? Do I actually help them build their business? Like, do I get under the weeds and do systems and processes and sales? No, but I help them get their life right so that they can perform better in their business, right? That's a different way of thinking about it. Or it could be, I help general contractors. You just pick your niche that you want to serve, someone who needs your help. And when you actually pick a niche, you become an authority much quicker. And so I know this, the bigger question was, how do you build a funnel and that kind of stuff? This is where I start. I look under the hood, find the problems that are existing within the current existing funnel. And then I go to, who do I serve? And so I think most people struggle in this area of, I don't truly know who I serve. I know what I do, right? I help people get in shape. I help people, you know, think differently about whatever, right? Maybe I'm the intermittent fasting guy, or maybe I'm the keto guy, or whatever it might be. But there's a red ocean in all those categories. And even though you might still do the same thing, who you serve might help create a massive funnel for you, right? Because for me, if I say Silicon Valley founders, one, there's tons of them. Two, they're always replenishing, right? How many people want to move to Silicon Valley and start a bunch? How many of them are burned out? All of them. So if I can help them perform better, right? I might go to venture capital and say, hey, you've got 10 clients who are all founders in Silicon Valley. What if I worked out a deal with you and your venture capital fund? You've invested in all these people. You want your investment to flourish. Well, guess what? I can help your investment flourish by helping protect the personal lives, the fitness, the mindset, the mentality of your founders that you've invested in, right? That's just a way different way of doing it, but I'm still doing the same thing, fitness. So getting zeroed in on who you serve, I will boil it down to that. That's how I start the funnel. And then it comes down to, where do those people exist? So if I have a specific ideal customer profile that I really want to nail down, I need to know, and this is the other part of building authority and building trust. If I say that I do fitness for all people, and I'm not calling any specific person out, I'm kind of looked at as a generalist fitness person. If I say I do fitness or I help, you know, whatever with Silicon Valley founders, I could build content around that specific type of person because I know that person, right? A Silicon Valley founder is going to have way different pain points and goals than someone who lives in the Southeast who works at an insurance company, right? There's nothing wrong with either of those. It's just they're different people, different problems, different pain points, different goals. And it's hard for me to encapsulate all that in my content, in my advertising, in my email copy, if I'm speaking to all of them. And so if I get laser focused on who I serve, I very quickly learn what are their pain points, what are their goals, and then I can create an ecosystem of content, whether it's advertising, email copy, all the different things, and that's going to flood your funnel. So I'll stop there, let you ask more questions, but that was a long-winded answer to get zeroed in on who you serve.
No, I love that. I think I hear a ton from health and fitness coaches that they're like, I serve moms. And it's like, it's just like, I feel like the specificity in which you can talk to your people, like that direct messaging, like not only does it slow the scroll, but it allows you to get in their heads and actually move people to action, which is all about what you're doing through your sales process. And unless you have that clarity, but I love how you also changed it into the statement of, this is who I help so that blank, you know, like, because it just, you really need that higher level vision. It inspires more action when you tell people what you can do for them.
When it comes to copy, I mean, I use a very simple formula and I make sure that whatever we do, it portrays this message. It is, we kind of what you're talking about. We help blank achieve, get to, accomplish, experience blank by blank, right? And so it's, who do I serve? Where do I take them? And then it's, how do I get them there? We usually flip it upside down and say, I'm a fitness person. I do this. I've, you know, help you get this thing. It's like, yeah, but who do I help? Help them picture the end result of working with you. What are they going to experience? What's their life going to be like after that? And then it's the how. They don't care about the how until they've figured out, like, can they help me get to the goals that I want? And honestly, people really struggle with the niching down thing. They feel like if I niche down into a specific type of person, a specific type of profile of individual, that that essentially means I'm saying no to everything else. And on the contrary, well, I guess that is true to some degree, but on the contrary, you can get incredibly successful, incredibly fast by being laser focused. Like you said, someone who serves moms. If I was doing fitness in the mom space, I would go super niche. I help new moms who are struggling with postpartum find themselves again and empower them through fitness and this and this, right? I help new moms, and I can say this because my wife is, you know, we just talked about this offline. Yeah. I have a 4-month-old child, and postpartum's hard, right? Your body's not the same. Your hormones aren't the same. You don't feel the same. You don't feel, you know, a big part of postpartum is you're struggling with things and you unfairly judge yourself. Well, if I was a woman helping women get through that with fitness, diet, exercise, et cetera, I would really try to empathize with them and understand them. And so someone who would say, yeah, but that's so niche. It's like, yeah, but how many people have babies? How many people go through postpartum and how replenishing is that, right? Just because someone, your customer is going to eventually leave and no longer be in postpartum, right? That would be considered a graduation from your program, right? It's that they're empowered now and they don't need you. But there's going to be another wave of people who have kids and another wave who has kids. And on top of that, you become the expert at postpartum through fitness and diet or whatever, right? I'm making up random stuff on the fly, but it just shows the power of niching down. Because if I'm a woman who's going through postpartum and I'm scrolling through my Instagram feed or whatever, and there's a video that says how to battle postpartum with intermittent fasting, right? If I saw that and I'm going through that, I'm going to click on that. And then if I look at all their content and it's all about postpartum, I'm probably going to trust that person and I'm probably going to attribute more authority to that person than just the random person who's talking about intermittent fasting to everybody.
100%. And so when you had talked about, I love the fact where you talked about going through the funnel and most people are just trying to fill it with more people. Again, I see this all the time. People are like, oh, like I just need more engagement on my posts. And they just focus on this like super one-dimensional. Yeah. I just need social media to run a business, which obviously a funnel is like just so much more, not only sophisticated, but you're just the autopilotness of it is so much better. So yeah. When you're diagnosing the problems in the funnel, so if you were to see that, you use that example of like, you know, between steps 2 and 6, you're seeing people drop off. What would your process be? Like this example, this happens all the time. Fitness coaches will have people to be like, yeah, send me more info. I'm interested. That sort of idea, complete drop off. So how do you diagnose what's going on in there? Maybe it's in an email series or whatnot. How would you fix that?
Well, here's, I'll actually give you this week, literally my funnel was breaking in a particular area. So right now we're running a lot of traffic through Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube ads. And our goal, considered an acquisition here, would be a booked call, right? So they go through a funnel. The funnel is advertising or an ad to a landing page that basically says, here's a video case study. Here's the things you'll learn in the video case study, et cetera. Opt-in, they give us their name, company name, email, phone number, optional phone number. From there, the next step is it takes them to the video case study delivery, right? So it shows them the page. It's got the video case study on it. And they can watch the 12-minute video case study of me on an iPad, like actually drawing out my case study. And it does really well. Our conversion is like 25% once they get there into a book call. And so then they book a call, right? So they click on book a call. It takes them to a book call page where we have Calendly embedded on the page. And we ask them a few questions. It was name, company name, email, revenue, and a couple of like random like demographical type stuff. And after that, they go to a confirmation page and they get a confirmation from Calendly. And the day of the call when they booked it, they get an email from our salesperson. And then they show up on a Zoom call, right? Well, what we were finding was everything was great, right? Book calls were super high. Conversions were doing well. We were having a big no-show on the call. So we go through all that. We spend all this money. They go through, we work them through the funnel. We provide the value, at least in our eyes. We call them to an action to book a call. They get on our calendar. It's confirmed. They accept it. And then they don't show up. Why? And so we had to diagnose, what's the problem here? And I think as we workshopped it internally, I have a decent amount of employees. So as we were talking about workshopping it internally on our level 10 meetings on Monday, we started getting to the understanding of, they don't see the importance of this call. And so because of that, if something else important happens in between when they book the call and when they're supposed to show up, naturally we start losing ranks in priorities. And so what we said was, we have to communicate the importance of this call from the moment that they enter our funnel and then through the funnel and then booking the call. And then after the call is booked all the way up until the, you know, 10 minutes before the call. And so how do we do that? And so we diagnosed that was the problem. And what we ended up doing was, I'm just showing you kind of behind the scenes here, was we found out that one, in the call to action in the case study, we're making it come across as like this free strategy call, complimentary, no strings attached. Well, we're already discrediting ourselves a little bit there, right? We're not putting a whole lot of weight. If we're just saying free, complimentary, no strings attached, it's just kind of this willy-nilly like, yeah, jump on a call with us, see what happens. We're not making it feel weighty, which it is. It's actually a very pivotal call. So we changed that. Then we changed the actual calendar. So we stripped away all the info. I don't want to know your revenue. I don't want to know anything. But what I do want to know is, are you committed to 5 minutes after you book this call to filling out a strategy call intake form? And it's basically, you can't book this call until you check this box. And so once they book the call, so we're not asking revenue. We're not asking, we're literally just asking name, email, are you willing to do this? Yes. Once they book the call on Calendly, it automatically redirects them to now a 5-minute application where we ask 2 or 3 times as many questions as we were asking. So we're actually gathering a lot more information. But what that's doing to them is they're feeling a little bit more and more invested in this call, right? They realize the importance of this intake and they spend 5 minutes answering a lot of questions about their business, about their personal goals, their biggest obstacles, those types of things, which equips my salesperson with a lot more ammo, by the way. So it has a lot more impact than just getting them on the call. And then after that, we send them an email with a video in it. So our salesperson does a quick video, sends it on to them and says, hey, looking forward to the call. And then we start saying, hey, we are setting aside this call for you. We are committed to you. This is a strategy call. We've got your intake form. We're going to promise you a few things. We're going to show up on time and we're going to give it our all. and we're going to give you direction, right? That's a general gist of it. All we ask of you is that you show up and that you're committed to the call like we are. Our no-show rate has gone away. We only have a week of data, but even in a week of data, everyone shows up. Every single person. And now what we're seeing is our actual conversion rate when they do show up is going up. So that's just a way of how we have internally thought about that. Was sometimes it's the order of in which you do things. Sometimes it's that if a no-show is your issue, maybe they just don't see the value of your call anymore. Mm-hmm. And so how do you continue to do that? So that's just, that's a couple of things.
Yeah, I love that. Like the thing that strikes me the most about everything that you have laid out for us is like, obviously you deal with like super high level businesses and like you get results. When you break things down, you make it super easy to understand and applicable at any level, which I love about the delivery of this and just being able to like take in everything that you're sharing. So thank you for, I know that's, you know, it's not always easy for people to break it down to it being that simple. So I appreciate the effort that you've put into making it simple for people.
Yeah. And one very easy tip to kind of encapsulate all that, and this is just sales in general, whether it's sales from a marketing perspective of a funnel or sales from like a traditional, have an appointment, have a proposal, deliver the proposal, sign contract, all that kind of stuff. Build what we call micro yeses into your process. Get them, if you think about like a rope, just get a couple more inches on the rope closer to the end goal. Because if you get someone used to saying yes to you, like this, I break this down in proposals too. Proposals, I have like 9 sections to a proposal. What I want someone to do when they read the proposal is nod their head yes all the way through. Just continue to nod their head yes. Oh, that makes sense. Yep, that makes sense. The way they say that makes sense. Yes, they diagnosed my situation perfectly. Yes, yes, yes. And then when they get to the price, they're used to saying yes to you. They're like, makes sense. Cool. 80 grand, makes sense. And so, not 80 grand's a lot, but you could do that all the way down to $80, right? And so I think building micro yeses into all your processes at a macro level, funnel level, and at a micro level in a proposal, how do you get them committed to you just one step further every time?
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so Joy, where is the best place for, I have 2 questions. Where is the best place for people to find you, follow you, learn more about what you do? And then I want to know your top 3 favorite books of all time.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Find me mostly on LinkedIn. So linkedin.com/IN/Joey Gilkey. I'm starting to be a lot more present on Facebook, believe it or not. Not Facebook pages, but Facebook personal profile. I actually went through a long season of deleting all my past connections and filling it with more people who are applicable to my current life and my future. So I highly suggest doing that. Your Facebook feed will change overnight. It's a lot more value, a lot more great business conversations. So highly suggest that. So Facebook as well, at Joey Gilkey Official. Books. I love this question. So top 3 favorite books. One is The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. It's very short, maybe 100 pages. It's a story or narrative style writing. So it's very much like an example of principles through the story of this, you know, character who's going through this journey of not finding fulfillment at work, not having massive, you know, skyscraper like success. And then he has this billionaire take him under his wing and basically teach him these principles. It's awesome. It's very good. I read it once a quarter. The Go-Giver's one. Let's see. Another one is by an author named Jordan Rayner. He's big in the faith and workspace. So more like a Christian business perspective, but it's called Called to Create, which is just, you know, we are created in a way, in such a way that we're called by being created, we are called by the creator to create. And so it kind of gives you perspective on just like the weightiness of your business and what you do in a day-to-day life. And then another one is The One Thing was really helpful for me. The One Thing is it's all about picking and choosing your rocks in life, right? Like he doesn't use this example, but I've started picking this up. If you think about a jar as your life and all the time that you have in your life, you first want to start with throwing rocks in, right? These are the really, really important things. We actually call them rocks internally at our company. These are like quarterly projects, yearly projects, big things that move the needle the most. And then once you fill it to the top with rocks, you're going to have all these gaps in between. Then you fill it with pebbles, and that's going to kind of situate in there, and you're going to have a lot less air pockets. Those are the things that are weekly, monthly type of tasks. And then you have your sand, which is like, all right, let's just shake it, put sand in the top, and we'll fill in the rest of the gap. And those are like your little to-dos. It's like your email inbox kind of becomes like everyone else's to-dos for your life. That comes last. And so the one thing really talks about like deep focus on that one thing that's going to really move the needle. And you'll find that you can delete most of your sand in your life.
I love that. And those are three books I have not heard of before. So
really awesome.
Yes. So good. Thank you for sharing.
I'd love to hear, what are your three? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, okay. The top
putting three. The host on the spot.
I have them ready. So the first one is called Money Flows or Dollars Flow to Me Easily. Best book I ever read, and like switching my mindset instantly about money and how if we think it's hard, it's hard. If we think it's easy, it's easy.
Is that super about like affirmations and stuff too?
A little bit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. It's super good though. Like super quick read. I love the book Traction. And then I am in the midst of reading Rocket Fuel, which is like quickly becoming my third favorite. So I would say now, those are like my top three.
Is Rocket Fuel also by Gina Wickman, who wrote Traction?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mentioned Level 10 Meetings and Rocks and stuff like that. That's EOS. That's Traction.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. I love that stuff. So nice to be able to simplify the business down to those things.
Yep.
And I guess if I could throw a bonus in there, I'd say Profit First.
Oh yeah. Mike Michalowicz. We have like a version of Profit First in our company. It makes me pay myself a lot more, which I like. I enjoy. I used to have a very strict set salary. No matter how much the company was making, I had a very strict set salary. And I was like, what? I don't understand. Like we make all the millions and millions of dollars and I'm paying myself like pennies to that.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, it's because you just feel the freedom of like sales minus expenses equals what's left over is your profit. And that's not the way to think about it. It's take out what you want to take off the table, and whatever you have left is what you can spend on expenses. And so I've gotten aggressively lean because of that, because I'm like, oh, I make 10 times as much in salary than I used to, but we don't make that much more revenue than I used to.
Yeah. It's such a nice framework. We've given it to our accountants to be like, okay, this is what we're doing. So yeah, I love that. Well, I so appreciate your time today, Joey. Thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom with us. I'm so, so appreciative. So thank you.
Yeah. It was great. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Are you a health and fitness coach looking to up your game when it comes to your marketing strategy and keeping your funnel flowing with killer leads? Our monthly marketing funnel membership is definitely for you. This membership gives you monthly done-for-you social media posting templates, Facebook group posts, weekly emails, and a freebie, all written by a professional copywriter to spark curiosity and grab attention. This strategy has been shown to boost engagement as much as 80%. Never worry about running out of people to connect with this strategic monthly marketing funnel membership. You'll get all the tools you need to post on social media consistently and strategically to attract your ideal customers. You'll be provided with value-packed content to help you serve the people at your table and those watching you in your Facebook group, email list, and on social media. Plus, you'll get access to content and training from yours truly to help you continue to grow your business to the level of your dreams. If you're already getting excited, you can get on the waitlist by heading to ashleyshaw.ca/waitinglist. That's ashleyshaw.ca/waitinglist.